Especially this year when we have so much time with Adar, it'd be nice to spend, maybe take advantage of all these weeks to focus in on Purim and on Adar. So my brother sent me a WhatsApp today that the Lubavitcher Rebbe said, whenever you have a year like this year with two Adars, it means you have 60 days of Adar. Mishenichnas Adar, Marv Simcha. Once Adar begins, you're supposed to add joy. Now, if you have 60 days of Adar, it means 60 days of joy. So he said, if you're happy all 60 days, then that will overcome whatever challenges you have, because we have a rule that we're learning and going to get to soon in Daf Yomi called Batal B'Shishim. But if something, let's say something gives taste and it falls into a mixture, so the 60 times more will annul it to make it as if it's gone. Things lose their identity in 60 times. So if you're happy for 60 days in a row, so whatever else you're dealing with, you know, this frustration or that frustration, it's going to be battle on the 60 times. Because we had 60 days of happiness. So in little, you were happy for 60 days. And in the back of your head, you were frustrated, worried, concerned, anxious. So that anxiety and frustration and worry is annulled over 60 times. So that's the key. The key is to take advantage of these days and to be very happy. We find, in fact, that the Talmud Yerushalmi says that if a person's going on a trip and he's not going to have access to a Megillah, he can read the Megillah from the very beginning of the month. Even though the first Mishnah says you only have 5 days for reading the Megillah, the 11th, the 12th, the 13th, the 14th, and the 15th of Adar, but the Yerushalmi says that in extenuating circumstances, you could even start from the beginning of the month, because the pasuk says, "V'hachodesh asher ne'apach lahem yagol nesimcha," and the month that flipped for them from sadness to joy. So the whole month is really a time to celebrate. So that's why I thought maybe we could use this time to go over some topics connected to Purim. So one of the things that I've learned from my teacher is that he loves to take different ideas in the Megillah, expand upon them, and elaborate in order to develop great concepts. So one of the concepts that we have in the Megillah is that Ahasuerus decreed that anyone who is there when Haman walks by has to bow down. So the pasuk says, "Mordechai lo yichrav lo yishtachaveh." Mordechai wouldn't kneel, nor would he bow. So everyone else is bowing, and Mordechai wouldn't bow, and that's what it alienated Haman. He got so angry. You know, how could you not be bowing to me? And that led Haman to decide it's not just Mordechai I want to go after. I want to go after all the Jews. And he pays off Ahasuerus, and Ahasuerus says, "I don't even need it. You can keep the money, and absolutely, let's go after all the Jews." So the question becomes, where did Mordechai get that strength from? Where did Mordechai get the strength to resist? Everybody else is bowing, and Mordechai, lo yichrav, lo yishtachaveh. Mordechai is not going to bow. So my teacher suggested the following, that we always learn from our enemies. Me'oivai techakmeni. We become wise by learning from our enemies. During the times that we had tremendous, tremendous miracles, 10 plagues, splitting of the sea, mun coming down from heaven, water coming out of a rock, clouds of glory surrounding us in the desert, Amalek was not impressed. Vayavo Amalek, v'yilachem Yisrael b'refidim. Amalek, in the end of Parshas Beshalach, attacks the Jews. It's after Kriyas Yamsuf, it's after Mara, it's after the clouds of glory, it's after the Mun, it's after there's a pillar by day and a cloud, you know, cloud by day and cloud by day and a pillar of fire at night. And Amalek is not, none of it impacts him. He still hates the Jews. All the miracles are happening, doesn't matter. He's still going to come after the Jews. He's still going to attack. So nothing moves him. He's just a big, big mechutzif. You know, there's a phrase called azus, az panim. Azpanim literally means a brazen face. And all sorts of events are happening, and he's still walking through the wall. Nothing stops him. He's on and on and on and on. So that's what Amalek was, to attack the Jews. So Mordechai said, I have to take that attribute of Azus, of brazenness, and use it for the good. So it could be the time of the worst darkness. No miracles. Gemara says, Esther minat Torah minayin. What's the hint to Esther? V'anochi haster astir panai. And I will hide, hiding within hiding of my face. I'll hide my face and hide even the fact that I'm hiding my face. Totally hidden. And Mordechai says, no matter what, however hidden it is, it doesn't impact me at all. I don't care at all. Haman and Amalek, they don't care at all about all the miracles, so I don't care about at all about all the lack of miracles. It's as if they're miracles. It's as if Hashem is here, and Hashem is watching, and Hashem is taking care, and nothing is impacting me at all. Now, if you're going to take something from the realm of the evil, it's going to have an advantage, because we have a rule that the side of holiness is actually a little bit stronger than the side of unholiness. We say that the verse says that God will count a crime for 4 generations. Someone does something wrong, the children continue that, the grandchildren continue that, the great-grandchildren continue that. So for 4 generations, God will continue the punishment. And the 4th generation, because they're continuing what's been done for 3 generations before, they get punished a little bit with the punishment of their great-grandfathers, not just their own punishments. A little bit of their great-grandfathers also comes upon them. It's for 4 generations a crime. What about a reward? Someone does a mitzvah, and the children do a mitzvah. How long does the reward go for? 2,000 generations. So you see that midah tova meruba, that the measure of good is 500 times more powerful than the measure of bad. The measure of bad will be for 4. The measure of good will be for 2,000. And so, when Mordechai, he takes away from Amalek this power of being tough, not being swayed, not being moved, everybody else is bowing, he's not bowing, he doesn't care. He developed it in a much stronger way. He got it in a way that's stronger than Amalek. And so in the end, Amalek is gone. Haman is killed, and the Amalekites are killed, and Mordechai is still going. He was very, very strong. So where does this come from? This power of being very tough, not to be swayed by all the events around us, just to continue. The real root of it is Avram Avinu. We find in the Haggadah, we say, V'ekach es avichem Avraham me'ever hanahar. The verse says, Yehoshua, I took your father Avraham from the other side of the river. So Rav Soloveitchik said, why is that so significant that he was on the other side of the river? He said, the significance is because the whole world was on the other side. Even though the whole world was on one side of the river, Avram was fine being on a different side of the river. He was willing to go against the entire world. And someone who's willing to go against the entire world, so firm and sure that he's serving Hashem, and that's what matters, that's why Hashem likes him. V'ekach es avichem Avram, I took your father Avram because of Avraham Nahar. Because he was coming from the other side of the river. He's Avram HaIvri, the whole world on one side, he's on the other side. Everybody's worshipping idols, he's breaking the idols. People who break the idols get thrown into fire, he gets thrown into fire. It doesn't matter. He's firm. He's very, very firm. Avram has that tremendous strength. That's why the verse says in Tehillim, chapter 89, Lam Natseach Le'itan Ha'ezrachi, a song to the mighty citizen. Eitan is a very strong, mighty force. That's a reference to Avram Avinu, who's the Eitan HaEzrachi. He's the mighty citizen. He's strong. He doesn't sway. Nothing moves him. So another way to connect this is that Avram, originally his name was Avram. So Av means father. Ram is elevated. Avram. What's the gematria of Ram? Resh Mem. What's the gematria of Resh Mem? 240. Amalek is also gematria 240. So Amalek, Ayin is 70, Mem is 40, Lamed is 30, so that's 140. Plus Kuf is another 100, so 240. Amalek is 240, and Ram is 240. In fact, that's the whole secret of Amalek, because Amalek, he's very arrogant. He's very sure of himself. The truth is, Rabbi Nachman says that there are two parts to Amalek. Rabbi Nachman says in Torah 6, in the Kutim Maran, that the verse says in Tehillim, Ki esak shamayim, if I climb up to the heavens, sham ata, you are there. Va'atziya sha'ol, if I go down into the netherworld, hineka, you're right there, you're present. Rabbi Nachman explains that there are two challenges against serving Hashem. Sometimes a person is doing a lot of good things. He's learning a lot of Torah, doing a lot of mitzvos, davening with a lot of kavana. He stops serving Hashem because he feels arrogant. I'm already doing a lot. So, ki esak shamayim, when I go up to heaven, sham ata. I have to realize that God's over there. He's not where I'm at. He's further. He's beyond. And there's another thing that might lead a person to stop serving Hashem. He feels, I'm not doing enough. I don't count. I'm worthless. Vatziya sha'ol, if I'm down in Gehenna, hineka, you're right there. If I'm down in Gehenna, you're right there. Then I have to tell myself, no, I'm not worthless. He's right with me in the Gehenna. He's right there to take care of me. So Amalek in Gematria is 240. 240 is the word Ram. So one challenge is to be very arrogant. Ki esak shamayim. The answer is when I'm getting arrogant, sham ata. God, you're further from me. There's more that I need to do. But then there's another challenge of Amalek. To get me down and to have me give up, to despair. Vatzil Sha'ol, if I'm down in the netherworld. Hineka, you're there with me, God, I'm not going to give up. That's why Ram is also the letters, if you flip them, the letters Mar, bitter. Because Amalek tries to make us embittered, to give up. Or Ram, to stop trying, because to make us too arrogant. Okay, but by the way, Amalek is in Gematria Ram. It's the Gematria of 240. Avram is Avram. He's the father higher than Ram. He's the father higher than Amalek. Because Amalek was a man who was very strong and it ignored all the miracles. So to parallel him, we need a leader who's very strong, who ignores all the successes of Amalek. All the successes don't count. It doesn't matter. We're going to hold firm to keep serving Hashem. The Gemara says that Mordechai was called Mordechai HaYehudi. The Gemara asks, how can you call him Mordechai Yehudi? Yehudi would sound like from the tribe of Yehuda, but he's Ish Yemini, he's from the tribe of Binyamin. He's a descendant of Shaul. We find that when Mordechai reveals himself to Achashverosh, now he's related to Esther. So Achashverosh is very happy. Esther is royalty. She comes from Shaul, the first Jewish king. So why is he called Yehudi? So the Gemara says, Mordechai is Ish Yehudi. Because Yehudi is kalakofer b'avodah zarah. Anyone who rejects any vestige of idolatry. Mordechai rejected every vestige of idolatry. That's what makes him Mordechai HaYehudi. So who's the first person who rejects the idolatry? Avraham Avinu. When Avraham Avinu breaks all the idols, that's the first breaking of idolatry. Avraham HaIvri is that he's willing to stand on one side of the river, even though everybody else is on the other side. Now the Gemara says in Masechta Brachos, Kalakoveya makam letfilaso, Elokei Avram be'ezra. Anyone who sets as a firm place for his prayer, he always prays in one place, the God of Avram is there to help him. Ukisha niftar, and when he leaves this world, Omrim Alav, they say about him, a chassid, where is this pious one? A anav, where is the humble person? Mi talmidav shel Avraham Avinu. He's a student of Avraham Avinu. So what does Avraham Avinu have to do with having a set place for prayer? Makom kavua. What's this greatness? You have a set place for prayer. He becomes a chassid. He becomes an anav because he has a set place for prayer that makes him a humble person necessarily. So my Rebbe suggested as following. Maybe the main thing is the kaveya. Avraham Avinu, he's a set person. He's not swayed. The whole world's against him. Everybody thinks he's terrible. He doesn't break. He's firm. We also have, for example, in Halacha, the idea that kol kavua kemechtz al mechtz adam. If we have a question about something firm, then automatically it's considered 50-50. We don't follow the majority anymore. As if you have a question, which store did I go into? Did I go into the kosher store or the non-kosher store? There may only be one non-kosher store. There are 20 kosher stores. You can't assume that you went into the kosher store. If the item has separated from the store and falls off of a truck that's driving, it's okay, let's look at the meat. Where is most of the meat? Is most of the meat kosher? Most of the meat non-kosher? If most is kosher, I can assume it's kosher. But if something is kavua, if something is set, if it's established, then that matters. Because even though there's a majority, it's not impacted by the majority. He's kavua. A person who's kavua, who's set, he's not impacted by everything else. So koveya atzma, koveya makom letfilah, so maybe it means like this. He is setting himself on a certain level of religiosity. And nothing sways him. And it's not only prayer. But prayer is a reference to being attached to Hashem. That he is deeply attached to Hashem. And that's it. He's firmly established. Nothing's going to move him. And in that way, he's mitalmidov shel Avraham Avinu. That makes him a student of Avraham Avinu. And therefore, he's called a chassid. He's very pious. And an anav. And he's very humble. Because maybe to be pious and to be humble, you have to have that quality, to be strong-minded. Chazal say, hasapanim ruban chassidim. Most of the sailors are chassidim, are very pious. Apparently, most other people are not so pious, but the sailors mostly are pious. In other words, in most other professions, it's not ruban chassidim, it's miutan chassidim. It's only a minority that are pious. That means the pious ones are not influenced by the majority. The majority are not pious, but they stay pious. That's like a koveya atzmo l'tfilasa. He's establishing himself in his prayer. He's set in a certain place. And the same thing is true in regards to humility. If somebody wants to be humble, the Gemara says in Nida, that's how the Tanya begins his book, Afilu kala olim kulo omim lecha tzadik ata, even if the whole world tells you that you're a tzadik, heye beinecha kirasha, be in your eyes as if you are a wicked person. So to be humble, you can't be swayed by what everyone else is saying. You have to be strong-minded. That's the student of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was strong-minded. The whole world was on one side, and he would stand on the other side. Maybe to go even further. What's the source of this? If we think about the world as a whole, the world as a whole is a circle. So in a circle, it goes around and around. There's a point in the middle of the circle that everything is surrounding. So in the world as a whole, everything is surrounding one key point. That key point is the Evan Shasiya, the foundation stone. The foundation stone, Harabayit, that's the center of the whole world. Everything in the whole world is going around there. And what is that really all about? According to the Kabbalah, that's really the spot which should be Gan Eden. Because Gan Eden is to connect this world to a higher world. And that spot really should be the Gan Eden of the world. And really the root of that, the root of Gan Eden, the inner spot within Gan Eden, is the Eitz HaChaim, the tree of life. The real inner spot of the whole world is the tree of life. And that's what we have in Harabayit. Because what do you have in the Kodesh HaKodashim? The Aron. And the Aron represents the tree of life. That's what the Torah says in this week's parasha of Asisa Aron Atze Shitin. Make an aron of wood. It's wood. You surround it with zahav. You surround it with gold. Zahav in Gematria is 14. 7 plus 5 plus 2. So 14 is the Gematria, the word Yad, hand. You have to hold on to the Eitz HaChayim, to the Tree of Life, with two hands. With the Yad Yamin and the Yad Smol. There's a minhag that when the person gets an aliyah, the two pieces of wood that the Torah is mounted on are called Atzei Chaim, trees of life. And when someone gets an aliyah, he holds on to both pieces of wood with both hands. You have to hold on in all situations. You have to be very, very firm. To go deeper, if a person is really connected to the inner point of what the world is surrounding, he knows that Eitz HaChayim, the tree of life, is the Torah. It gives him the strength to hold firm in all situations, not to be swayed. Amazing hint to this is who built the Beis HaMikdash? Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech is called Yedidya, the Yedid of Hashem. Yedid is Yad Yad. Yad Yamin and Yad Smol, the right hand and the left hand. At the beginning of the third chapter of Kohelet says, Lakol Zman, Ve'eis, Lakol Chefetz, Tachas HaShemayim. To everything there is a time and a season under the heavens. Eis Lehov, a time to love. Eis Lesno, a time to hate. Eis Milchama, time for war. Eis Shalom, a time for peace. Eis Rekod, a time to dance. Eis Svod, a time to eulogize. Everything has a time. So, some are good, Ehov. Some are difficult, Lesno. Some are good, Shalom, Eis Milchama, right? Eis Laledes, time to give birth. Eis Lakor Natua, time to uproot. Some are good and some are not so good. If you go through the list, there's a total of 28 times. 14 that are good and 14 that aren't good. Those are the two Yadayim, the two hands. The Yad Yamin, the Yad Smol. The right hand and the left hand. Because Yad in Gematria is 14. We have to hold on to the Eitz HaChayim, to the Tree of Life. And all the times, that's the Yadid. The real Yadid, the real friend, holds on with both the Yad Yamin and the Yad Smol, the right hand and the left hand. And that's to be attached to the inner point, to be connected to the real inner point. And that's why if somebody is connected to the inner point, he's connected to the Eitz HaChayim, it doesn't matter, the majority is not with me, the majority is against me. That's okay. That's the majority, but they're not at the inner point. So they're on the circle. The circle's moving. They go this way, they go that way. This time the majority thinks this way, this time the majority thinks that way. But this is the inner point. And that inner point, that's the point that really lasts. So here's Mordechai HaTzadik. Mordechai, he's connected to the Eitz HaChayim. We know that in Kabbalah, the level of real attachment to Hashem is called the Shaar HaChamishim, the 50th gate, the Shaar HaNun. So Haman wanted to hang Mordechai on a tree 50 amos tall. And instead, Haman gets hung on the tree that's 50 amos tall. So Mordechai, he's connected to that level, and he owns the 50 amos. So if it's 50-50, that means you're not swayed by the majority. It's 50-50. Mechza al mechza. That's Mordechai. Kol kavua is established. Ke mechza al mechza. He's the inner point. The inner point is exactly in the middle. The 50. So the Zohar teaches that when a person, that the Eitz HaChayim, the Tree of Life, that's the point that connects one world with the next. Let's say this world is called the world of Asiya. At the Eitz HaChayim point, at the point of the Aron Kodesh, the point of the Kodesh HaKadashim, that's where there's the connection between Asiya and Yetzira. And in the Kodesh HaKadashim of Yetzira, there's a connection between Yetzira and Bria. In the Kodesh HaKadashim of Bria, there's a connection between Bria and Atzilus. So you go up from world to world through what the Zohar calls the Eitz HaChayim. So that's why the Gemara says, Kalakoveya Makam Letvilasam. Anyone who establishes a place for his prayer, in other words, he establishes his spirituality on a very high level. Elokei Avram be'Ezra, the God of Avram is there to help him. U'kishenifter min ha'olam, and when he leaves the world, they say, Ei chassid, Ei anav, where is this chassid, where is the anav? In other words, when he leaves the world, he goes from this world to a higher world. And how does he go from this world to a higher world? He goes from this world to a higher world through the Eitz HaChayim, the tree of life of this world. So they say, where is the chasid? Where is the anav? We lost Yitzhamid of Shal Avram Avinu. We lost the Avram Avinu of this generation. The Avram Avinu of this generation. He was attached to the inner point. He was connected. He wasn't moved. He wasn't swayed. He stayed firm. He was the inner point with the world going around him. So we lost someone who was from Avram Avinu, and that's what we're mourning for. So that's a big thing to take away. Purim is to not be swayed by what's going on around us. To say we have to hold on to Kedusha, hold on to the inner point, and everything else that's revolving around and around, it can change this way, it can change that way, but the inner point, that lasts. You know, there's an election in Israel now. And, you know, one of the funny features of Israeli politics is that every year, every election, they have like a gag party, like a joke, and it usually gets like 6 or 7 seats, like consistently. A couple of years ago, there was a party of old people. They called themselves pensioners, just people's over 75. They got 7 seats in the Knesset. Just guys over 75. And then, you know, like the next time around, they didn't get in it at all. You know, it was like, it seems like Israeli society is like a chevra in Israeli society. They just want to, like, I don't know, vote for something unusual, something ridiculous. And it's funny, like this time it's the old people, and then there was David Levy at one point had a party, and then he was gone, and now it looks like Tzipi Livni's going to be gone with her 6 seats. You know, it's like every cycle there's like this flavor and that flavor, and it always changes. But, you know, Kedusha is not always changing. Kedusha is to be connected, you know, to Torah, to mitzvos, to serving Hashem. It could be this way, it could be that way, it doesn't matter. We have the right way to be connected to Hashem, to serve Him, and not to be moved at all. My teacher used to say that, you think about Haman, he comes in front of Ahasuerus when he thinks he's at the height of his popularity. Because he said, you know, I was invited last night to be with the queen, and there's nothing that the king would hold back from me. But when I see Mordechai not bowing to me, it's nothing's worth it. Kol zein eno shogeli, nothing's worth it. So his wife says, okay, build the tree of 50 amos, ask the king to hang Mordechai on it, he'll certainly give it to you. And that night you go to the party happy. So comes into the king. The king says, someone who the king wants to honor, what should be done for him? So Haman doesn't say, listen to his every request. Haman doesn't say, give him a bridge, a country, some taxes. What does Haman say when he's, you know, asked this question point blank? He says, in his heart, he says, who would the king want to honor more than me? And then Haman says, Isha Shara Melech HaFetz Biyakaro, a person that the king wants to honor. Yaviu Levush Malchus Asher Lavash Bo HaMelech. They should bring a royal garment that the king wore when he was inaugurated. Vesus Asher Rechav Alav HaMelech. And the horse that the king rode on it. And the crown that they put on the king when he was first made king. And they should put this crown on this man that the king wants to honor, and the garment that the king wore on the man that the king wants to honor, and the horse that the king rode for the man that the king wants to honor. Your view, and they should take a man from one of the king's ministers, Achagana Partamim, Ashalifne Amelech, and he should lead this horse throughout the city, Vikarulafanam, and they'll say before him, Kacha Yasela Ish, Asher Amelech Hafetz Biyakara. Think about it for a second, right? What's Haman going to get? He's going to get, what, 3 hours? 4 hours? It's not going to be the king. For 3 or 4 hours, they're going to walk through the city with him on the horse. So what's it going to be for Haman? It'll be 3 or 4 hours on the horse, and the next day, it'll be the newspaper. They say, Haman was honored. He wore the king's crown. What's that going to do for him after 12 hours? Nothing. But for Haman, that's all that matters. Because if it's in the newspaper, then everybody talks about me, then it's real, that I matter, that I'm important. Because Haman, he lives, what are they thinking about me? I'm in their head. They're talking about me. That's already the achievement itself. That I have the notoriety, that's already the achievement. And you contrast that with Mordechai. He doesn't care. He doesn't care what the other people say. And they speak to Mordechai, and it doesn't matter. Bow to Haman. He says, I'm not bowing. It's the opposite. Mordechai is connected to what's right, the real attachment. He's not worried about what the crowd is saying. And for Haman, it's only what the crowd is saying. So that's one idea. One lesson is to learn from Megillas Esther, to be a person who's firmly rooted, to be kovei hamakom v'tfilaso, to be like Mordechai, to be strongly attached. Okay, another idea from the Tichina Rebbe. It says in the Megillah that they established the days of Purim, the 14th and 15th, for Matanos Le'Avyonim, to give... Please. To give gifts to the poor, u'mishloach manos ish l're'ehu, and to send gifts, to send packages, a man to his friend. So we know that in Kabbalah, the two most important psukim are Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad and Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus HaLa'olam V'ad. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, that represents what the Kabbalah calls Yehuda Ilah, the spirituality of being beyond this world. Here Israel, God is one. It's beyond anything. Whatever you think He is, He's more, He's beyond. And the second great spirituality is Baruch Shem Kol Malchus HaLa'olam V'ad, to find Hashem in every situation. It's the spirituality called Yehuda Tata. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad is 25 letters. Baruch Shem Kol Malchus HaLa'olam V'ad is 24 letters. Together it's 49. And that leads you to what we were speaking about, the Shaar HaNun, the 50th gate. When you have the awareness that Hashem is beyond this world, plus Hashem is in this world, you can get to real attachment to Hashem to the point of being that 50th gate, totally attached. So in Mishloach Manos Ish L'Re'ehu, the pasuk says, in sending gifts a man to his friend, the gematria of that phrase, Mishloach Manos Ish L'Re'ehu, equals Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Because the Mishloach Manos is what Hashem gave us, this gift. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Hashem's Mishloach Manos to us is that we should be aware that He's one, that He's in charge, that He's running everything. The biggest gift is that we can be believers in Hashem. That's the biggest gift. He gave us the chance to be ma'aminim. There's a story that the Hasidim say about Shlomo Karliner. He's a very, very poor man. Someone once came to his house to see him, to visit him, and he saw the poverty he was living under. So he said to Shlomo Karliner, I feel so bad, maybe I can give you some money. So Shlomo Karliner said in Yiddish, Chtafnisht, I don't need it. Chab Tzvei Kiyin. So in Yiddish, Kiyin can mean cows. I have two cows. So he looked around, he didn't see any cows. So what's going on? You don't have any cows. So Shlomo Karliner said, I don't mean Kiyin in Yiddish. I mean Kiyin as two times the word Ki. The pasuk says, Ki vo yismach li beinu ki v'shem kadsho v'tach. For in Him our heart will be happy, for in His holy name we trust. I have this trust in Hashem, and that gives me the joy. That faith, that's the source of all the joy. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a gift. The gift that Hashem gave us is that we can say Shema Yisrael, listen other Jews, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. God is our Lord, God is one. God's running the world. It says about Avram Avinu, V'hamin b'Hashem. Avram Avinu believed in Hashem, V'yachshevel lo tzedakah. And Hashem considered it for Avram Avinu to be tzedakah, to be a gift. Or maybe the way to understand it is the other way. Avram Avinu felt this is tzedakah. The fact that you're enabling me to believe in you, Hashem, that is the tzedakah. That's the gift from Hashem, that you enabled me to be a ma'amin. So now manos in gematria is 496. So 496 is 2 times 248. 2 times 248 is 496. Kriyat Shema has a total of 248 words. It actually has a total of 247 words. But if you say the word emes, if you say emes, then it becomes 248. And that's what the Gemara says. You're not supposed to take a pause between Hashem Elokeichem and the word emes. Now we say Kriyat Shema twice a day. We say it in the morning and we say it in the evening. So those are the 248 words that we say in the morning and in the evening to equal a total of 496. 496 equals manos. These are the two portions. Mishloach manos, ishlereyehu, the two portions that Hashem sends us is that He gives us the ability to say Kriyat Shema in the morning and Kriyat Shema at night. If you take the whole phrase, u'mishloach manos, that equals in Gematria, malchus shamayim, the kingdom of heaven. Because the Gemara says that when we say Kriyat Shema before we daven, before we say Shemona Esrei, because Kriyat Shema is Kabbalas O Malchus Shamayim. First we accept the yoke of heaven, and then we ask God for things. We find that Avram Avinu gave gifts. Where do we find Avram Avinu giving gifts? With Hagar. So first he was married to Hagar, and then he sent her away, as per the wishes of Sarah. When Sarah dies, Avram sends Eliezer to find a wife for Yitzchak. And the verse says that Avram himself went and remarried. He married Keturah, which according to Chazal is another name for Hagar. And out of Keturah, he has a whole bunch of children. And then he sends those children away. And the verse says that he gave them matanot, he gave them gifts. Rashi says, what are the gifts that he gave to these children that were sent to the east? He gave them Shem Tumah. He gave them a name of impurity. So why would he give them a name of impurity? So the Kabbalists suggest like this. These children of Avraham Avinu, that's the source of the Chinese and the Indians and the Japanese, they were sent to the east. It's the east of the land of Israel. And you have of those places, you have a lot of impurity, a lot of Avodah Zarah. India, even to this day, I have a friend who told me he was doing business in India. He said, the cows there, it's crazy, it's out of control. Cows are everywhere, they still worship the cows. In Japan, they had Shinto worshiping all sorts of spirits. So why did Avraham Avinu give them Shem Tumah? The Kabbalists say it's actually a favor. This way they're not heretics. They're not disbelievers in God. They believe in spirituality, just the wrong spirituality. But at least there's some spirituality, because Avraham Avinu, he's a believer. And he's a person who believes in the spiritual realm. His children have to have some spirituality. Okay, maybe not the full pure spirituality, but at least some spirituality. So maybe we can suggest, who's the one who doesn't believe in God at all? That's Amalek. Amalek, he's the one who doesn't believe in God at all. He's the one who creates the questions about whether or not there is a God at all. Amalek equals Suffolk. He's the doubt about the existence of God in Gematria. So to keep his children away from Amalek, Avraham Avinu gave to his children Shem Tumah. He gave them a name of impurity. So to keep them away from Amalek, they'll have belief. They'll have spirituality. It won't be the true spirituality, but they will have something. Chazal say that Hashem swore that His name is not complete as long as Amalek is in this world. That's why it's Yad al Keska, not Yad al Kisei Hashem. Because as long as Amalek is in this world, Ein Hashem Shalem, Ein Hakisei Shalem. The name's not complete, the throne's not complete. As long as Amalek's in this world, Hashem's name is not complete. Maybe the pshat is like this. As long as Amalek is in this world, Hashem's name is not complete. There has to be also a Shem Tumah. There has to be a name of impurity. Because if Amalek is around, so people might be swayed by them. So at least let them have the Shem Tumah. But once Amalek will be gone, then there's no need to give a Shem Tumah. then already it can be just, right? Hashem Echad, Ushmo Echad. So these children that Avraham Avinu gives the Shem Tumah to are the Bnei Pilakshim. That's what the Torah calls them, the children of the concubines. Pilakshim is actually the word Peleg Shem. Pei Lamed Gimel Shin Mem. Peleg Shem, half of a name. Half of a name, because of the Pilakshim, Hashem has a divided name. Since it's a divided name, Avraham Avinu gives impure names, impure spirituality for them. What's the difference? What's the non-Pilegesh? The non-Pilegesh is a wife. A wife is an Isha. Ish v'Isha, Ish and Isha, Shechina Shruya b'Nehem. They have the name of God between them. How so? Because Ish has a Yud, Isha has a Hey. And when a man marries an Isha, he has to give her a Ksuba. And a Ksuba has a Vav and a Hey. So it's Ksav with Vav Hey. So when it's Ish v'Isha, it's the full name, Yud K, Vav K. But Pilagshin is Peleg Shem. It's only half the name, because there's no Ksuba given to a Pilegesh. So it's just the Ish, a man, and Isha and a woman, a Yud and a Hey, both out. The Vav Hey, it's only Peleg Shem. It's only half of a name. Gemara in Sanhedrin says a very, very sad story. There was a woman whose name was Timna. And Timna came to Yaakov Avinu and she said, I want to convert. And Yaakov Avinu said, no, we're not interested in converts. So she said, I very much want to be connected to the seed of Avraham Avinu. So she became a Pilegesh to Eliphaz, the son of Esav. She wanted to convert. She wasn't accepted. So she became a concubine to Eliphaz, the son of Esav. And Timna and Eliphaz together gave birth to Amalek. So where does Amalek come from? He comes from a Pilegesh. Pilegesh is the letters Peleg Shame. Because Amalek, when he's around, Hashem only leaves a half name. Because Amalek is here. So if there's a half name, Hashem and the Kedusha has to allow for a shame tumah. So when you have Amalek, so you have Amalek who's denying that Hashem exists at all. So Hashem therefore allows for the impurity of impure spirituality. So now, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to give a shame tumah, that there can be a gift, a spirituality of Avodah Zarah, to keep people away from Amalek, certainly HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we are defeating Amalek, because Haman, the representative of Amalek, he gets hung on Purim. When we defeat Amalek, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is certainly giving Emuna. Here Hashem is willing to send a gift. Avraham Avinu sent a gift of an impure spirituality to save people from the, heaven forbid, complete denial. So certainly HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving Mishloach Manos, Ishtar Re'ehu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending the gift of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. He's sending the gift of Emuna to Am Yisrael to enable us not to have the, heaven forbid, the failures of Amalek, especially when we see the defeat of Amalek. Another thought about Amalek is that the Pasuk says that when Amalek came, so Moshe Rabbeinu calls Yehoshua, and he tells Yehoshua, Bechar lanu anashim, choose for us people that say, Hilachem Amalek, and go fight against Amalek. So Rashi says, Bechar lanu, choose for us. It's strange, choose for me. So Rashi says, Leave lecha, for us, me and you, Hishveyulo. Here, Moshe Rabbeinu is making Yehoshua equal to him. Choose people for us. Me and you, equals. Choose people for us. Choose people for us, me and you, equals. So me and you being equals, from here we learn, that a teacher should respect his student as much as he respects himself. So why would it be that the war with Amalek, that's the time to teach us that a teacher should respect the student the same as he respects himself? So I saw a very beautiful answer suggested by Rav Huttner of blessed memory. He said, we know Amalek is the one who's trying to prevent redemption. He tries to prevent the redemption. We're about to get the Torah at Sinai. That's going to redeem us. Amalek comes to try to stop us from getting the Torah at Sinai. So what's the key to the redemption? It says in Parshas Lech Lecha that Hashem tells Avraham Avinu, "Ger yiyez aracha be'eretz lo lahem. Your descendants will be strangers in a land not their own. Avadim, they'll be enslaved. Ve'inu osam, they'll be afflicted. Arba me'ol shana for 400 years." And then it doesn't say va'az yashuvu hena. Then they'll come here. V'dor revi'i yashuvu hena, and the fourth generation will come back here. So why the switch? It should be, and then they'll come back. They'll be enslaved, they'll be afflicted 400 years, and they'll come back. But no, they'll be enslaved and afflicted, and the fourth generation will come back. The fourth generation will come back. They'll come back. So the Ravid says a beautiful thing in his commentary to Adios. The Ravid says there are some people, they look at time as years, days, weeks. There are other people who look at time as generations. This is the generation of Avram. This is the generation of Yitzchak. If you're measuring time as years, you're in exile. When you measure time as generations, then you're redeemed. V'dor revi'i, the fourth generation, yeshuv v'ena. So that's Amalek. Amalek is the one who tries to prevent redemption. That's what did Hashem say? Milchama l'Hashem ba'amalek. Midor dor. There's a war of Hashem against Amalek from generation to generation. One way to read it is Hashem is fighting Amalek because Amalek is in that gap between generation and generation. Midor dor. Amalek tries to divide one generation from the next generation. And there's a war against that. Milchama l'Hashem ba'Amalek. Midor dor. There's a war for Hashem's sake against Amalek from generation to generation. Hashem is fighting against that. So when we talk about generation to generation, a father and his son, that's one generation to another generation. But a teacher to his student is also from one generation to another generation. In a certain way, a teacher is also a father. The Gemara says that if you find the lost object of your teacher, the lost object of your father, return it to your teacher first, because your teacher brings you to the world to come. Your father only brought you to this world. Your teacher is your spiritual father. Teach it to your student, to your sons. The Gemara says it's a reference really to your students. So Amalek tries to divide generation from generation to prevent redemption. And so when fighting Amalek, the honor of your student should be as beloved as your own honor. Choose for us people, let's say Hilachim Amalek. Choose for us, not choose for me, but choose for us. We have to be equal, the student and the teacher, Moshe and Yoshua, Moshe the teacher, Yoshua the student. Because when we fight against Amalek, there's no generational gap. We have to be equal, and in that we go out to fight against them.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.